I suppose so. I put them on the internet, so they're available for everybody.
Okay, all right.
And if you go to my website, I've got, if you go to ericlevy.com, then you'll see pictures of headphones, and I have a lot of Shirim there,
okay, so
mine, other people's
okay,
as well.
Okay, yeah.
So essentially everything that I do that I remember to record and the battery doesn't run out for is up there online.
Because I missed last one, I was out.
What did we do last week? We introduced the Sefer Iyov, which was a surprise probably to some people. We spoke about, we just introduced the story. We went through the entire book and we spoke about structure, and then we saw some problems with the structure, and then we talked about when it was written possibly and who wrote it and a little bit of why. You know, perhaps a word on that before we get into the old Satan. And I want to apologize ahead of time because, of course, you know, I made it seem like I was going to be given a Kabbalah shiur because that way you get a lot of people. You declare a Kabbalah shiur and everybody comes out. You declare a Tanakh shiur and
well,
only the truly sturdy. That's right. and of course, I'm really going to stick to the textual. That is, there's a way to do the Satan even in the philosophical. It needs to be looked at even with the New Testament, but if not the New Testament, with philosophical writings, Gemara, later Midrashim, something called Kabbalistic literature, all of that is, it's all good. But I don't claim expertise on any of that. I don't claim expertise on anything, but at least I know Tanakh a little bit. And that's really what I'll stick with. It was, how does the Satan used in Tanakh? And then just a hint or two of what that means for modern times. But really it's a Tanakh share, even though I made it sound like it was going to be something more. Just to, I'd like to read you something, if I could find it quickly. If I can't find it, just so you should know a little bit something about Sefer Iyov. See if I could find it. In Yechezkel, if you happen to have it. Hold on. Maybe Yirmiyahu. Just a second. You don't have to turn. I'll read it out loud, and I think it'll be very clear as long as I find it. If I don't find it, I'll just erase this part of the recording and start again. I don't have the time. Here it is. It's in Yirmiyahu, Yudchet Yudchet. It shows up once in Yechezkel also, but I'd like to read to you just so that you know really what we're dealing with in the book of Iyov, and with that I'll start on the whole Satan issue. Yechezkel Yudchet Yudchet reads like this, Vayomru, and you shall say, L'chu v'nach sheva, I'm sorry, in Yirmiyahu, Yudchet Yudchet, L'chu v'nach sheva al Yirmiyahu. I apologize. You can just listen. I'll just read it. V'nach sheva al Yirmiyahu machshavot. Let's, loosely speaking, it's let's go think thoughts about Yirmiyahu. Ki lo tovad Torah mikohen, because the Torah, which means instructions, right? If you go through Sefer Vayikra, zet Torah tazav, zet Torah tamsorah, usually instructions on how to behave in a legal process called the Torah. Ki lo tovad Torah mikohen. Eitza michacham v'davar minavi. And this shows up, this triparate division shows up twice in Tanakh, once in Yechezkel, once in Yirmiyahu, but really it shows up in other places but never quite so clearly. What that means is that there were three schools of religious thought or religious / philosophical thought. I'm not sure there was really much of a difference back then. You know, nobody was an atheist back then. So the philosophical was the religious, and the religious was the philosophical. The three groups we have are Torah from Kohen. So if you wanted to know how to behave in a certain halachic matter, you'd go to a Kohen. If you wanted to know how you should behave maybe on a moral or on a what does God want me to do front, prophecy front, that would be called Davar from Navi. And in fact, we very often, if you take a look, say, from Malachim, it says Vayhi Dvara, Eliyahu Ba, sometimes called a Mechdav, sometimes it's called a Davar. A Davar doesn't just mean a word, it means an instruction. And the last one is Eitzah Mechacham, which translated in modern English is advice from a wise man. And what this shows you is that there were really three groups of places that Jews would go to discover what it was that God wanted from them. There was Torah from Kohen, there was Davar from Navi, and there was Eitzah from Chacham. And very often you read about these Chachamim in Tanakh, and not all of them are very good. If you remember, there was Yoav, the general of David, wants to bring his son Avshalom back. So he gets this woman to dress up, and she pretends to have a court case, and she comes to David, and she says, I got two sons, and one killed the other, and everybody wants him dead, but if they kill him, it won't have anything, and she was called a Chachamah, Isha Chachamah. what that's referring to, and they're not all good, by the way. Many of the Chachamot were not good, just like there were Nevi'im that were not good, and probably a good few Kohanim that were not good. But the idea of wisdom literature existed. It was well known, and people would study wisdom literature. They did not claim to be prophets. They claimed to have Kol Chachmot B'nei Kedem. Remember what it says about Shlomo? Vater of Chachmat Shlomo Mikol Chachmat B'nei Kedem. The B'nei Kedem, the ancient Mesopotamians, had their wisdom literature, and Shlomo was considered to be the wisest of them all. And it was an area of expertise, and it was an area of religious pursuit. And these books that we're reading, like Eov, are classified as what's called wisdom literature. They were written, I don't want to say they weren't written by a Navi. If they weren't written by a Navi, they wouldn't be in our Tanakh. And the fact that they're in Ketuvim still may indicate that they were written by a Navi, even though we tend to think of Ketuvim as being on a slightly lower level than Navi. Not everybody agrees with that. In any event, we certainly think that all 24 books of Tanakh were written by Nevi'im. This Navi, however, was clearly a master of, first of all, he was a master of poetry, no doubt about it, beyond Yirmiyahu and Yeshayahu, I mean, beyond his master of not only ancient Hebrew, but Proto-Arabic, Aramaic, is masterful, Akkadian is masterful. But you could sense that he also was an expert of the Chochmah literature, and people probably came to him to get advice on how to lead life. You know, I'm a really good person, and all my flock died. Why does that happen? Give me some instruction. And probably enough people asked me, figured out, write a book and keep people from having to knock on my door. I'm just being fanciful here. But you should know that there is this concept in Judaism. It's well spelled out by Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel. It's hinted to another Sfarim, and that's really the book that we're dealing with, which is, it's a book of philosophy. It's a philosophy wisdom book. What?
Like some people go to a Rebbe.
Yes.
Similar.
Right. The truth is, maybe it's a bad thing, but a Rebbe sort of has taken on all of those things. A Rebbe becomes both a prophet, mm-hmm. really, as well as somebody who instructs on halacha, as well as you don't think that that's correct? I think a Rebbe very often does become a prophet, because a Rebbe, not a prophecy. The prophecy. What's that? What are you saying? Yeah, absolutely. The idea, you know, when we you know, you pass around if you go to a tish and you pass around a piece of food and people eat from it, that's the certain essence that there's a certain ex cathedra, that is God is somehow infusing his energy directly into the Rebbe. And I don't mean to only say that in the negative sense. Of course, a modern day Rebbe knows how to, doesn't, hopefully it isn't communicating directly with God. That would be wonderful if he was communicating directly with God. But fortunately, we have all possible nevuot already spelled out in these 24 books, and a good Rebbe will know how to interpret those words and say, you know what, instead of me telling you what I think about the book, I'll tell you what the book thinks about, you know, modern day situation. It's a very dangerous, usually we impress our own philosophies on the book of Tanakh. If we're wise, or if we're good prophets, so to speak, then we will sort of continue the path of the prophets. So I think the Rebbe takes that role. And the Rebbe certainly takes the role of the Torah to Kohen. He says what's kosher and what's not kosher. And he does take the wisdom. And maybe a Rebbe takes upon himself, right? He comforts the sick. He goes and he helps people when they're in trouble. He does take very much a tripartite role, perhaps too much, because as you can see here, the roles seem to be quite divided. People had specialties. But, you know, that's something that we can ponder and think about. But those are the three roles in Judaism, and I believe they still exist today. And what's fascinating is to see is that they were very well defined in prophetic times as well. And now to the Satan. And here I'd like to read the passage again. So if we open up to Eov. I have a few extra Eovs, by the way. If people need, I've got a little Tanakh. So I've got, by the way, if you're looking for a really nice Tanakh, this was the old really good one, the Koran. Because they had very good divisions. But what's happened is Breuer, who's one of the great biblical scholars, put together this new one, which is based on the Aleppo Codex as much as possible. Mm-hmm. Some of the Aleppo Codex was burned. But what he does is he breaks up the Shear into two sticks, to hemisticks, which is the way it's supposed to be pronounced. So when you're looking through Tehillim, it's all broken up into da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- I think it's a beautiful,
like
just for all of the, for all poetry books, for all poetry books. So Tehillim, Eov, Mishle, you know, all the poetry books. Not all books are poetry. So if you have, you know, if you're in the mood to get a new Tanakh, you might want to take a look at this one. Also, it's bright red, so you can't miss it in the dark, and that's always a positive thing.
Can't
read it in the dark. What's that? Well, maybe we'll get to that level. You never know. Anyway, let's read the part about the Satan. Vayihi Ayom. This is chapter two. Actually, chapter one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by all means. And I've got an extra Eov here. I've got one Eov here. Although I need this for Rashi, but Kavasher, I got another Eov here. Verse 6, Vayhi Ayom, it was on the day. Now, of course, that immediately, you know, or something immediately that grabs people's eyes, which is what day? Vayhi Hayom, it's a known day. This is chapter 1, verse 6. Vayhi Hayom, Vayavo B'nei Elohim, the children of God, or the godly ones. Something you should know in Hebrew, by the way, B'nei doesn't necessarily mean, if I say somebody's a Ben Chacham, it doesn't mean he's the son of a wise person. It means he is a wise person. It means he belongs to the group of wise people. So when you say B'nai Elohim, that doesn't mean that they were the children of God. That's a very Christological approach, right? That they were born of God. That would be as silly as reading B'nai Chacham as children of wise people, missing the whole point. Or B'nai Nevi'im, the children of Nevi'im, which is totally wrong. It means they were Nevi'im. They were of the classification of Nevi'im. And it's very important to recognize that distinction. I'm sure a lot of people have gone astray, unfortunately, because of that misread. Vayihi ayom v'yavo B'nai Elohim, the godly ones, lihityatzev al Hashem. They were all standing, from the word liyatziv, they were all standing in front of God. Vayavo gam ha-satan b'tocham. And also the satan came in their midst. So the word gam certainly attaches, the word gam also attaches to the previous, so the simple read means the satan was one of the B'nai Elohim.
I would think it's the other one. Yeah, because
exactly,
and he set aside.
Oh, in charge of the station.
What is the definition of
Satan
here?
I'm going to get into that in detail. That's what my whole shiur is on. Let me take a look and see how. You know, the truth is, I never thought about it as a contradistinction rather than an inclusion. Let me take a quick peek at Rashi and see if he comments on it. And the Rashi and the Radak, if you give me just a second. Vayavo b'nei Elohim, Vayavo gama Satan. Yeah, what he does is, and we'll get to this, his role, the Metzudat Zion puts it very nicely. B'nei Elohim, Heim Malam De'azchut, they're the ones who try to convince God that people are good. HaSatan L'katreg, the Satan is the prosecuting attorney. So Gam does actually create a contradiction, not perhaps that he wasn't one of them, in whatever metaphysical sense that is, but that his role is in contradistinction to the other ones. However, we're going to see it's not so simple. Not so simple. I'll show you. First of all, you may have said, well, we're going to look at the Satan, but there's also, so the Satan is not the only Kabbalistic character showing up here. The other weird character showing up here, of course, the B'nai Elohim. So how can we understand one without the other? And that's why I'm going to get to them in a second. But let's read on.
I thought one of the weird characters showing up here was
God, as I take it as a given. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what to respond, because I think it's you're being somewhat humorous. But the idea, here's the problem in modern day Judaism, except for Kabbalistic Judaism, and I'm going to get to that perhaps in the last 5 minutes of the class. In modern day Judaism, God is without shame, without form, without equal, and whatever the malachim are, they are automatons at best. You know, they're like robots that you program. One tends to shy away from, while we believe in God, one tends to shy away of any independence from angelic characters. Not so much because it was never accepted by Judaism, as we're going to get to today, but because it was accepted wholeheartedly by the Christians, because it became sort of a cause de guerre of Christian faith. We rejected it outright, as I'll point out a little bit later. So when you see God, let's put it this way, the B'nai HaElohim and the Satan do not show up much in the Torah. God, of course, shows up everywhere in the Torah and Tanakh, but the B'nai Elohim, we have to take a look when they show up. It's surprising. And the Satan shows up almost not at all. Even though it sounds like a familiar word, I'll show you that he, or whatever it was, shows up almost not at all. Let me continue and let's see what happens. Vayomar Adonai el HaSatan. So God says, Satan, Me'ayim Tavo, where are you coming from? Vayana Satan et Adonai Vayomar Mishut Ba'aret. I was Mishut, the literal translation, I was traveling around the land. But you can immediately sense that there is a play on words between Shut and Satan, something which is not lost to the reader, and therefore, in order to understand, as your question, what does the word Satan come from, obviously the author is giving us a clue. You want to know the Satan? Look at the word Shut also, which is what we're going to do today. Umihit halech ba, and from walking around in it, which is also a significant word that we may or may not get to today. Vayomar Adonai el Satan, Asamta libcha l'avdi Yov, if you've been paying attention to Yov, Ki en kamo baaretz, ish tam yashar elohim asara, I never does anything wrong. Which means, who does it sound like? At this point, did Satan say anything bad about Eov? Not a thing. Live and let live. I was walking around, I had a nice time walking around the world, leave me alone. And God, is instigating him, right? We always think, we tend to think that the Satan is instigating God. And in fact, that's what he says. Lama sitani chinam. God says, you instigated me. And yet, wait a second. God's doing the talking. Had God never said anything, the Satan obviously couldn't have opened up his mouth. Obviously, Hashem is sort of poteach petach. He's opening up a door for the Satan to come in. What does he say? Vayana Satan et Adonai vayomar achinam yarei yovet alim. You think he loves you for free? And then he explains, as we did last time, he explains, yeah, because you pay him off, that's why he loves you. If you don't pay him off, he won't love you. And when that didn't work out, it says because he doesn't care about losing his goods, but if he personally is punished, then he'll curse you. And Eov winds up passing all the tests, although I can't say with flying colors, but he certainly passes the trick letter of the test. The first problem is, who's at fault here exactly? If the author is trying to create this Satan character to show that the Satan is causing troubles for Eov, the first sense is that Satan is not creating troubles for Eov, that God is creating troubles for Eov. So I can tell you what Amos Chacham said. Amos Chacham is the author of the Dat Mikra version. That's a modern parish. The Dat Mikra Sfarim have different authors, and I can tell you that Amos Chacham is a firm guy, and any parish that goes into Sefer Eov is going to be a firm parish. So I'll read to you what he says, because he clarifies it maybe. He certainly gives one opinion, which is worthwhile knowing, whether that's the final opinion that we come up with. He says like this, Vayavo Gama Satan, just a second, yeah, here it is. Ulefi inyana parsha, and based on context, lemedim anu, we learn, shetafkido, what was the Satan's job? Lehitalech ba'aretz, go over the land, ulechapes ba chataim. So he wasn't on the Torah, he was looking for sinners. Bitocham, sorry, vayomer, ein habaim, right, so God speaks to him, and according to Amos Chacham, Amos Chacham is grappling with this issue, says, why does God speak first? Because nobody's allowed to speak to God without God speaking first. So he has to speak first. Okay, technical issue. So he says, Kavanata Sheila, what was God's question? Ezu amakom shematzata bochet, uvata lahodia li alai. It wasn't where did you go, it's where did you find sin. And he says, Mishut, kmoshatu amvalaktu, avru apnei amakom vistaklubo, and what he says is, Lobati, the Satan is saying, according to Amos Chacham, when he just says, I was just walking around, he never mentions Eov's name, what he's saying is, Lobati lahudia alchet miyuchad shenaseh b'chad ha-makomot. I'm not trying to tell you. I don't feel like telling you about any individual sin. Elakol ha'aretz kulam le'achataim. What does he mean, ani shut ba'aretz? I can't go anywhere without seeing sinners. When I said I was everywhere, that means I was everywhere seeing sinners. Amos Chacham understands that because the job of the Satan is to find sinners, not to take tours. And therefore, if he says he walked all over the land, it means he found sinners all over the land. Ki adam ein sadik ba'aretz, because there's no good person in the land. It actually sounds like pre-flood times, really. U'bezeh ha-satan lo rak mitadreg al b'nei adam, and therefore the Satan is not only bringing a testimony, mitadreg, he's not only accusing, bring accusations against people. Elagam pogeh b'chvod Hashem. He's also insulting God. He's accusing God. Kimelech basar v'adam shomrim lo b'chol machuto en afilu adam achan ne'eman lo. You don't even have a single person that likes you. Not a single person. That's good. And then what is Hashem? And then therefore Hashem's response is, well, wait a second. You're telling me everybody's evil. Take a look at Eov. He's good. How could you say that? And then Satan's response to that is, no, Eov is only good because he has non-altruistic reasons, because he's being paid off. So what Amos Chacham does is he solves the problem. He says that really the Satan did open up his mouth and accused everybody of being evil. God then says, not Eov, and Satan says, oh yeah, and then so really the Satan does initiate. That's nice. That definitely solves the problem of who started it. I know it seems almost silly, but that's what it sounds like. Nonetheless, it's not the simple shot. It's not the simple pshat. The simple pshat is that the Satan said he walked around. We have no idea what he found or what he didn't find. He didn't say he accused anybody or didn't accuse anybody. And God says, by the way, take a look at this guy. So let's take a look more and see exactly what the Satan's job is. Let's see where I... Let me just get focused. I sort of... Yeah. Before we get to what the Satan's job is, I think what we need to do is take a look at the entire environment. There's the Satan is one of, or in contrast to, the B'nai Elohim. So the question is, who are the Bnei Elohim, and what are they doing there? Now, we got a hint of what the Bnei Elohim are doing there by the Mitzudat Zion, and he's not the only one. What does he say? Mitzudat David. He says that the Satan, and he, I think, would support Amos Chacham's idea. The Satan was there to cause trouble. The Bnei Elohim were protecting the people, and that was essentially a court case in front of God. Picture, I don't know, picture Law and Order, the last half an hour of Law and Order. It's got the Satan versus the defense attorneys, whatever it is, and then you're seeing the action. And that certainly supports his idea. However, that bears the question, what are the Bnei Elohim? I mean, where are they? What are they doing? I never heard that there was positive testimony. I always thought it was God versus the Satan. So who are the Bnei Elohim, and why do they show up? So, I think from the Bnei Elohim, we could then discover more about the Satan and what he was. So, of course, the Bnei Elohim show up first. Anybody know where they first show up in the Torah? Anybody know where the Bnei Elohim first show up? At the end, right before Noach, at the end of Parshat Bereishit, right before Noach, they take the daughters of man, they cause all kinds of troubles, they give birth to giants, etc., etc. It's a fantastical story. Seeing supernatural, right, they give the women give birth to children. Fantastical story. Fantastical. What does most commentaries say about it? Bnei Elohim, Bnei Ashoftim. Elohim should not be translated as gods. Elohim means judges, right? We have in Shoftim, we have in Sefer Shmot, when two people are fighting together, v'tavo devarim, v'tavo et rivam lifnei ha-Elohim. It doesn't mean before God, it means before the judges. And Elohim, that's why, of course, we know Elohim as being midat ha-din and not midat ha-rachamim. Shehayu osim ba'aretz mishpat Elohim. Rashi, same thing. Almost everybody says the same thing. Nobody brings the supernatural there, although they bring the supernatural in Sefer Dvarim. Eben Ezra, who is not to be cowed by apparently this anti-supernatural movement, says, V'yesh omen, there are those who say, ki ha-Elohim makom hazeh kadosh. Kodesh. That is, these are supernatural, these are holy beings. And where does this issue come from? Why do people shy away from the supernatural, even though you could follow the story and we've got giants coming out of them, so if they were just children judges, where from whence the giants? So Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, anybody who calls the Bnei Elohim Bnei Malachim, Mikalelotam, gets cursed. We curse that person, says it. Why? Because there was this anti-Christian response. The simple pshat of the pasuk is very, very clear. Bnei Elohim means the godly beings who apparently had a certain here. If they are godly beings, not only do they sit around God just being a defense attorney as if they have a robotic role, albeit a one with a certain amount of capabilities, here they have the ability to wage war against God, right? I'm sure you're all familiar with that story of John Milton, and of course it comes out of the Book of Enoch, which was written by a Jew. It's an apocryphal book, but certainly written by a Jew. The angels all say, we like those chicks, so we're all going to go down. God says, you can't do that. They say, we're out of here. They have this big war. God cast them down. A guy named Hanoch observes the whole thing. We have an entire book written about this kind of apocalyptic confrontation between God and the angels, who are the fallen angels, the Satan. That's where it comes from. So, of course, when the Christians got with their idea, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai is living right in the middle of the Christian age, of course, and saying, enough of that, you know. Anybody who says Bnei Elohim are supernatural beings, that needs to be cursed, because the minute that you open up that door, the Christians go, well, of course, and that's hence the devil, hence the whole basis for Christianity. Nonetheless, here, there's no other way to understand it. The word Bnei Elohim, even if you wanted to say Bnei Elohim were children of Shoftim there, Bnei HaElohim here are clearly supernatural beings. There's no other way to interpret it. And the word Bnei Elohim is used in both places. The third place where it's not used, where you won't find it, is in Sefer Dvarim. I'd like to read you Sefer Dvarim. It's fascinating. Let me read you where you won't see Bnei HaElohim, and the question is, why won't you see Bnei HaElohim? If you open up Sefer Dvarim in Hazinu, so he sings a nice song. He says like this: Zechor Yemot Olam, remember your original days. Binu Shnot Dor Vador, remember the years of every generation. Sha'al Avicha V'Yagedcha, ask your father and he will tell you. Zekeinecha V'Yom Rulach, and your elders and they will tell you. Behanchel Elyon Goyim, when God, Elyon meaning Elyon, when God gave territory to all the other nations, i.e. outside of Israel, Behafrido Bnei Adam, when he separated all the men, all the people, Yatsev Gvulot Damim, he established the borders of all the other peoples, L'mispar Bnei Yisrael, according to the number of the people of Israel. That's our Mesorah, and we're going to go with that. However, you should know that there was another Mesorah at the time, which was not L'mispar Bnei Yisrael, but L'mispar Bnei HaElohim. If you open up a Septuagint today, which is a Targum Shivim, which was written by Jews for Jews. Now the problem is the only versions that we have were re-edited by Christians, the famous origin of Christian times, 3rd century CE. The original Septuagint was written for Jews by Jews. I'm sure you all know the story of the Shivim Zkenim, and Ptolemy made them go into a room. That's the Midrashic story. There's a less fantastical story, but the bottom line is the people were in Egypt, Jews were in Egypt. The guy wanted to know what was going on in the Jewish Bible. The Jews wanted to know what was going on in the Jewish Bible. The same reason why we have an R scroll today, that's why they had a Septuagint, the Targum Shivim, back then. The Targum Shivim that we have, and it's admittedly corrupted by Christological forces, because we don't have that original one. The only ones we have are 600 years later, during already Christian times, says something which actually makes the Pasuk sound a little bit more sensible, and maybe that's why they changed it. I established the borders of the peoples according to the numbers of the Bnei Elohim. What does that mean? Well, here's what it means. Let me read you this Ramban. Now, we don't accept this Torah reading. We reject it. And by the way, the Parshanim go crazy trying to understand why the borders of the people of the non-Jews are affected by the number of Jews. Well, the simplest answer is there's 70 non-Jewish nations, and there were 70 Jews that went down to Mitzrayim. But that's not the simple, it's a difficult connection. It's not an immediate connection. Every parish goes nuts on it. Nobody brings up the issue of the Septuagint, regardless of whether, I'm sure they knew it, nobody brings up the possibility the Septuagint was the right version. Nonetheless, what the Septuagint was saying is not a Christian idea, it's a Jewish idea. And let me read you an interesting Ramban. This is on page 1, and when I'm referring to page 1, I mean the one that says Bnei Elohim on Yom HaDin, and it's on line 21. It's on the first page 1. It's in Vayikra, it's talking about how if the Jews are licentious, if they behave inappropriate in a sexual manner, that God will spit them out of the land. The Torah, God, was extra strict when it came to sexual inappropriateness. Because the land becomes tummy, becomes defiled with these actions. The takiya nefashot v'osot. Now here Ramban runs into a problem. Why? Because it says that in Israel, that's where you're not supposed to do these things. Kishetavo el haaretz tishmor pen, you'll go after and you'll do arayot. So the Ramban asks a great question. V'hinei arayot chuvat aguf ve'inan tliyot aretz. According to Ramban, of course, and here's the Ramban's going to get very, very Zionist on us. This is the makor for the super Zionist Ramban. Ramban holds that mitzvot outside of Eretz Israel are not d'oraita. I'm sure you've heard that of the Ramban. This is the Ramban that states it. However, that doesn't apply to mitzvot aguf. Mitzvot aguf, things that you do in your own body, obviously those apply everywhere, no matter where you go. It's only mitzvot that are not directly lulav, etrog, davening, perhaps. Things that are not tzorach aguf, sexuality is a tzorach aguf, and therefore it applies everywhere. Ramban wants to know, fine, I accept the idea that mitzvot that are not tzorach aguf, they're not part of my body. A circumcision, obviously. You live in New Jersey, you must get a circumcision. It's a tzorach aguf. Whether you have to put on tefillin or not, depends on whether you think of it as a tzorach aguf, but there are many things which are not. Blowing shofar on kashrut, maybe yes, probably yes, it's probably tzorach aguf, but each one needs to be analyzed to figure out whether Ramban would hold that it's a diorite outside of Eretz Israel. So why does he say, if this is a tzorach aguf, if this is an issue of sexuality, how come the Torah is saying, when you get to Israel, you have to do these things? So he says like this, Aval sod hadavar, the secret of the thing. This is on line 22. By the way, and when Ramban says sod, this is Kabbalistic, before there was Kabbalism. This is right during the Hasidic Ashkenaz time. The two big Kabbalistic works, again, before there was Kabbalism, were called Sefer Abahir and Sefer Yetzira, the Book of Creation, supposedly written by Abram, and he was a master of both. He was a Kabbalist before they even knew how to say Kabbalah. See what he's quoting? He's quoting the pasuk from that I just read you from Azinu. The Hafrido b'nei Adam, when he separated man, Yatsev gvulot amim v'chulei, ki chelek Hashem amo, because their portion is with Israel. V'ha'inyan, what does it mean? Ki Hashem anechbad bara hakol. First thing you have to know is God created everything. V'sam koach ha'tachtonim be'elyonim. But he attached the power and the capabilities of the lower life forms, i.e. us, the physical life forms, with the supernatural life forms. V'natan ha'kol am v'am batzot v'goyehem kochav u'mazal yadua kasher noda b'itzdagniot. And every nation of the 70 nations was given a kochav, a star, a zodiacal symbol, which he says is well known from astrological knowledge of the time. V'zeu shenema, asher chilek Hashem elokecha otam l'chol amim, that God divided up for all the people. Ki chilek l'chulam mazalot b'shamayim, each one has their own destiny. V'gvoyim aleihem malachei elyon, and each one has one angel. Nitanam liyot sarim aleihem, which is to be the officer of that non-Jewish, not people, by the way, but extra Israel country. He's not basing this, you're going to see in a second. He's not talking about 70 nations from a racial sense. He means from a division of the earth sense. I'll read it to you in a second. We'll see that in a second. Kinyan shekatuv v'sar malchut paras omed l'negdi. Because I see the officer